This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's fastest 15.
Nicole is such a liar. Did you hear her just...
No,
a
she's
few
doing her job.
Ago?
I appreciate
she
Nicole.
She just lied to me.
Well, actually, she didn't.
I wanted you to
If you had
faster.
Taken another 5 seconds, you would have been late.
Was I late?
No, but it could have been. You don't need to just zip in here.
I'm right
stalled for you. Ursula talks slowly. She stalled.
I was stalling. I was thinking, should I throw in another story?
No, no. I answer the bell. I'm always here with the mic on when it's time to go.
I encourage all our listeners. This is something we need to get people to. Anytime there's a chance to watch you on a monitor, right at the beginning of the show.
I was doing business.
Half the time, you are barely on your...
I was doing production in another studio. So I'm walking across the newsroom. Nicole snapping her fingers at me. And because I got a clock in my head after all these years. And she goes, nope, you're already late. She'll start. And I walk in, and you're wrapping the news. It was
we were stalling.
It was perfect timing. It was perfect timing. You remember when Kennedy worked here?
Oh, yes.
Kennedy, who's on Fox News now, Fox Business, she had a show on The Buzz.
She's great.
She's awesome. She's a dear friend. She would walk in, she would have bumper music play sometimes for 1 or 2 minutes. Because she would just walk in 1 or 2 minutes late to the start of an hour.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
That's, granted, she's doing super well, but that's not how I would recommend doing a show.
She's doing super well.
There was also someone who would, during the CBS News updates, would try to, like, make a run for the store or something. It was not good. It was not good.
No, it wasn't good. That did not work
Never,
out well.
Yes.
I don't know where to go with that.
Just, I wouldn't recommend it. We're good.
Okay,
yes.
I'm just going to drop it and move on.
Yes, let's move on.
Okay, all right, will do. Okay, let's get to the news here in the Fastest 15, a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Megan Rapinoe plays for the Seattle women's soccer team. Is it Rain? So they're called the Rain, I believe.
Yes.
And she was on the World Cup team. And I personally find her to be a very annoying public persona. I don't know her personally. But, you know, she's one of those, I will kneel for the anthem. And then when the U.S. national team says, you can't kneel for the anthem. So then she makes a point of hanging her head and trying to look as disrespectful as possible. But because she is a woke person, she gets all kinds of accolades. The ESPN ESPY Awards honored her.
She's also an incredible soccer player.
She's pretty good. She's pretty good, but she gets accolades.
She was the MVP of the 2019 Women's World Cup.
She was?
Yes.
She didn't even play in some of the games.
You're a proponent of women's sports. She's an excellent athlete.
Well, yes. Anybody who plays at that level is an excellent athlete. All I'm saying is she gets accolades far beyond her athletic ability because of her social stances. That's what it takes, as we'll talk about in a couple of minutes with people's sexiest man alive. But anyway, Megan Rapinoe, she just was named Glamour's Woman of the Year. And again, look, terrific soccer player. Glamour's Woman of the Year. Again, that's an accolade because of her social views. But then she said something in her acceptance speech that was just absolutely ridiculous.
I feel like I have to take this opportunity to thank the person for whom I don't feel like I would be here without, someone whose courage and bravery was so bright and so bold, a person filled with conviction, unafraid of the consequences because he knew it really wasn't about playing it safe, it was about doing what was necessary and backing down to exactly nobody. So while I'm enjoying all of this unprecedented and frankly a little bit uncomfortable attention and personal success, in large part due to my activism off the field, Colin Kaepernick is still effectively banned.
Okay, so make sure you heard what she said there because of the applause. Colin Kaepernick is effectively banned from the NFL, she claims. And then she'll go on to explain why.
Still banned from the NFL for kneeling during the national anthem in protest of known and systematic police brutality against people of color, known and systematic racial injustice, known and systematic white supremacy. I see no clearer example of that system being alive and well than me standing before you right now. It would be a slap in the face to Colin and to so many other faces not to acknowledge, and for me personally to work relentlessly to dismantle that system that benefits some over the detriment of others, and frankly is quite literally tearing us apart in this country.
Okay, that is just simply ridiculous, borderline insanity spewing out of the mouth of Megan Rapinoe. She says that Colin Kaepernick is being banned from the NFL in part, in her list of all the reasons, because of white supremacy. Okay, there are a lot of guys who kneeled for the anthem, who sat for the anthem, who are still playing in the NFL. Michael Bennett, the former Seahawk, sat for the anthem. He just got bounced by the Patriots. He got picked up by another team right away. Colin Kaepernick is not playing for two reasons. One, he's not good enough. And two, however good he is more than offset by the media circus that would surround a backup quarterback. And I know for a fact that there are NFL teams that looked at Colin Kaepernick and they made the determination that he would be at best a backup quarterback, and you don't want to have 12 TV cameras following and talking to your backup quarterback after every practice and every game. It's not worth it to the structure of team. Point number two, she said that Colin Kaepernick isn't playing because of white supremacy. There are three leading most valuable candidates, most valuable player candidates in the NFL right now this season. Number one, Russell Wilson. Number two, Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Number three, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. All three African Americans in a league that is dominated by African American players. For Megan Rapinoe to suggest that Colin Kaepernick is being kept out of the NFL because of white supremacy is just simply insanity. But it's nonsense like that that gets her elected Glamour's Woman of the Year and ESPY's Courageous Woman Award or whatever she got there. All you have to do is say stuff, regardless of if there's any basis in reality, and you get awards for it. That is nonsense, what she just said there. Okay, number two in our Fast 50. We talked yesterday about this guy named Don Cherry, the probably most renowned hockey announcer ever. He's been doing hockey for 38 years, Hockey Night in Canada, former Boston Bruins coach. And this is the comment that got him fired on the broadcast this last Saturday night.
Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto. Nobody wears a poppy.
Okay, I should explain. We have Veterans Day. In Canada, they have Remembrance Day, where people would traditionally wear poppy flowers in remembrance of the fallen soldiers who served Canada and defended their nation. And he was upset that there are a lot of people who do not wear poppies on Remembrance Day anymore.
Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto. Nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to wait. He says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to the small cities, and the rows on rows. You people love you. They come here, whatever it is. You love our way of life. You love our milk and honey. At least you can pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys pay the the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people and good Canadians that bought a poppy. I'm still going to run it anyhow.
Love you for it.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and what he said that got him fired was he was talking about immigrants, and he called them these people. And essentially, that's they told him, because he referred to the group of immigrants, particularly in Toronto, as these people. That is considered a derogatory way to refer to a group of people. So he was trying to explain what he was trying to say on Tucker Carlson last night.
I was saying, and evidently, I did a great thing, I thought, on Matt Stommy, and he had his book about diabetes. I did for two young lads that died, 15 and 17. That was never mentioned. I did a great thing, I thought, for 1,500 troops that were at a hockey game at Brampton, and they were all forgotten. The one thing that got me, it was you people. And I suppose if I had it to do over again, I would have said everybody. But you people are the people that they listen to. The silent majority, as you know, are always silent. The police are with me. The forces are with me. Everybody's with me. And the firefighters, the whole deal. But it doesn't make any sense. And I was brought in, and I was told that I was fired after 38 years. And, you know, I stand by what I said, and I still mean it.
And he said he certainly was not trying to be hateful.
No, I didn't. And, and we're all immigrants and the whole deal. But I knew, and nothing happened that night. And nobody said anything that night. And they ran it that night. And they read it later and the whole deal. And the funny thing is, I never heard a thing that night. I heard it the next day. At the silent majority, is always silent. And the other people, whoever they wanted to be, they listen to them. And after 38 years, but I have no problem. 38 years, this Saturday will be the first time in 38 years that I've never been on a hockey night in Canada.
That's amazing. And, you know, you made the point yesterday so that they were probably just looking for a reason.
Yeah. And I also, I don't know much about Don Cherry, although I know that he's been in the business for a long time. I was trying to read up a little bit more about him, and it sounds like he has had a history of making controversial remarks.
That's why he's been in the business for 38 years. He says things that are at times outrageous.
Right.
But I
think at this point they're like, you know what, let's just cut it now.
Then here's what you do. You let them finish out the season. But when they make this part of the cancel culture and they tie it to him saying you people instead of every, he said, I wish I'd said everyone should wear a poppy, but instead he said you people should come and wear a poppy. And when you make it about two words at the end of a 38-year career, again, there but for the grace of God, that could happen to any of us.
Correct.
And I
know that, being in this business.
Yes. And I just, if somebody's been doing it for you, your company, for 38 years, if you're really just looking for a reason to get rid of them, just let them finish out the season. It's kind of early in the season. You'd have to wait a few months.
But one of the things that happens is, and again, I'm just talking more general here too. Sometimes it's real hard, especially if you've got someone of age. It's hard. You could get, face discrimination lawsuits, age discrimination, whatever it is. So if they give you a reason versus forcing someone out.
Cancel culture thing is so pathetic to me. It's just outrageous. Somebody says you people instead of everyone, and that gets them fired after 38 years. Now, I think most of us are savvy enough to know you don't use stuff that people can use as a weapon against you. You know, but heaven knows, there are people who would love to get me fired because they don't like my point of view on the world. And I try to not give them ammo that is that toxic or that potentially explosive. But
do we also know, was he a big ratings grabber, or had his
You don't stick around for 38 years if you don't produce. I mean, nobody. This business is the ultimate meritocracy. If you're not a ratings grabber, there's no way you survive for 38 years. And people loved him. People, because he was the
eccentric. I'm just skeptical. If it boiled down to just those two words and he is saying, I wish I'd said this, I just feel like there's more to the story. We just don't see it.
Yeah. Well, I think that maybe the broadcast company is just falling prey to that cancel culture that is so pervasive. Okay, we're talking about people who get accolades because of their social views. People magazine has just announced its sexiest man alive for 2019, and they picked what I would consider to be one of the least sexiest human beings. Singer John Legend is People Magazine's sexiest man alive. The Grammy-winning singer, known for his silky smooth vocals, was revealed as this year's winner on The Voice last night, where he serves as coach.
I was watching when that happened.
Yeah.
Because Blake Shelton announced it, because Blake Shelton was also a People's Sexiest Man Alive. First thing I thought of was you.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
That means a lot to me.
Not because I thought you'd be on the cover at some point, but because I knew that you were going to have an issue with it.
That's what I thought you meant.
What does that mean? why did you have to add that? That I'm not going to be on the cover.
Well, nor am I, nor am, you know, I'm just saying.
I think
that
you have a shot.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I do. And it'd be nice if you would return that
okay,
kind of
Okay, you have a shot, too.
No.
But what I was trying to say is that because you love his wife so much.
Yeah. Yeah, she's hot. Chrissy
Did you
Teigen.
See her response?
Well, is that?
It's at the top.
It's at the top.
No, there's two pages to. Nope, another story.
No, I don't see her response. You told me about her.
Well, what he said on the show last night was that she always gives him a bad time, but for this, she was legitimately proud of him.
No, that's not the quote that Nicole read to me off of Twitter, which she's trying to find right now. So, we're talking about him, and you told me that he's such a great singer.
He is.
And I asked you if you could name any of his songs.
Yes.
And you couldn't.
I gave you one.
Which one?
Hang
You're
on a second.
It up.
You know, I am because I don't know titles. Wait, you know that. I could sing it to all of me.
No,
thank you.
Yeah, all of me.
Yes.
Which is, but do you have,
but
do
he
you,
has a beautiful voice.
Will
and
you pull
a great,
up the song, Sean, okay, All of Me
and
by
I'll
John
sing it with
Legend?
You.
Because the fact that just the mental There's, image that he's all of me is for all of you. And all of us. I hate this song. I hate this song.
It has been overplayed.
Fiery passion. And
that's
just
a bit much.
He also does covers, and he does. If you say that he's not talented or that he doesn't,
what would I do without your smart mouth? And he's singing this about Chrissy Teigen.
That's why you don't like it.
Oh. No, I hate it because the chorus is all in me, loves all of you. Okay, so here's Chrissy Teigen. Can I even read this on the air?
I think you should not say the one word. Say bleep.
Okay, here's what Chrissy Teigen tweeted about John Legend being voted People's Sexiest Man Alive. My secret is out. I have fulfilled my dream of having bleeped People's Sexiest Man Alive in honor. In honor.
And it wasn't the F word.
It was
another ridiculous word.
The B word. Not the most common B word. The B word that...
It's like a doggy toy.
Yes, it's the B word that's like a doggy toy. So she, my secret is out. I have fulfilled my dream of having bead People's Sexiest Man Alive. Oh, that's quite
I
the
mean,
mental
I think that whole
image.
People's Sexiest Man, they've lost it for me. Though.
I'm telling you, people get awards beyond their
I'm not talking about John
deserving because they're woke, because of their worldview. That's why I'm not going to be the sexiest man alive, because I don't look at the world the right way. It's not because I'm not sexy,
well, for many
because
people,
I am.
For many people you do, so that would make you just as legitimate.
No, but no magazine. People's not going to honor some conservative, sexy
you know
guy.
You know who put you on a cover?
Who?
The Seattle Weekly.
Yeah.
You made the cover.
Oh, I know. I was their Seattle Sexiest Man Alive in 2015.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got, oh, hey, bring this up. I love this song so much.
Chrissy Teigen and just beat me.
All right. Come on, everybody sing love.
Can you give me all of me?
Sean, I think we got to close this up.
Hey! Speaking of Chrissy Teigen, it's Hump Day with Heward, and that's coming up next.
Day with Heward. Blue 88, check. Brown 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With the 12s, here the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
It is Wednesday afternoon, and that does mean it's time for Hump Day with Heward. And we have had, Brock, about a little over 36 hours now to digest what happened on Monday Night Football between the Seahawks and the Niners. I haven't had a chance to talk with you about it yet.
That game broke me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had my men's group over. Had a lot of steak. I had some of the kiddos over as well. So let's see, there's about six, seven of us up in the playroom watching it. Mm-hmm. And I was doing good. I was fine, down 10-0, I'm all good. Whatever happens, happens. I'm in great company, just enjoying tremendous food. If you've not had the ribeye caps at Costco, you're missing out on life. They tie it together. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. As is my USDA Prime tri-tip that I marinate. All of it's great. And at 10-0, I'm fine. And then they recover the fumble. Okay, 10-7, we got a little ball game. Mm-hmm. Okay, DK fumbles, that happens. I'm doing great. And then the second half, that game just broke me. 21-10 and the fumble and the Effetti Heisman run to the fumble touchdown, followed by the face, you know, they missed the face mask call. Followed
wait a second. You mean it was this play that broke you?
It broke.
Second and seven. Russ under center. Play fake. He's going to throw. Look out. He's being chased. Now he's going to get dropped from behind. Blitz coming from the backside. Ball comes out. It's still on the loose. It's picked up. DeForest Buckner picked it up. Russ got sacked. But I thought the ball was down. It was not. The ball came out, and now the San Francisco defense takes a page out of the Seahawks playbook, strips the ball away from Russ. They return it for a touchdown, and the Niners are right back in this one, 21-16.
And then we saw in the replay, there were two fumbles on that play,
yes.
Both Russ and
Effetti. Oh, that one just kind of started. And then just emotionally, I was a disaster. From that point on, it was I could feel the eyes of people, their judgment. Molly came in the room for a little bit. She had to leave the room. It was just one of those games that I sit back even 36 hours later, Dory, and I think in my life, and you've mentioned this a bunch, mm-hmm. in a variety of different ways, mm-hmm. isn't it nice to just be alive?
Yes.
There's things that you experience, and you're just like, you know what, good or bad or ugly or whatever, you put yourself out there, and it is so healthy and rewarding because you just have, I mean, what creates that?
As I was watching that game last night, Brock, you're probably still young enough that you're jealous of the players. I was jealous of Coach Pete because that's a great feeling. Win or lose, when you experience intensity of emotion that very few human beings get in their day-to-day life, that is about as great a professional blessing as you can have.
And Coach Carroll had said this to Salk and I on many Mondays when Salk and I were doing the show on an everyday basis, and we got a chance to sit down with him on Mondays, Dory. And he would say, suck it up, Buttercup. Like, this is hard. The NFL is hard. There's nothing easy about this game. There's nothing easy about this league. And I think in his style and the way they play and to run the ball and play defense, he likes it that way. He likes colorful personalities. Mm-hmm. He likes colorful locker rooms. And he likes hard-fought, down-to-the-wire, test every bit of resolve and guts and resiliency you have. And his teams reflect it. And he's got a QB that is wired the exact same way.
Well, and I was thinking I had a lot of thoughts as I was watching this game.
Yes.
But they're just, nothing is real anymore. You know, reality TV isn't real. It's scripted by producers. You know, the way people interact isn't real.
Politics is not real anymore. It's all a game.
Politics is the exact opposite of real. That's what politics is. This is real. And this is sheer human drama. A kid who was on the street a week ago hitting field goals for the 49ers.
Yes.
A kid who couldn't make an extra point a week ago. Setting up for a game winner yes. for the Seahawks.
Malik Turner's on the field. They back up to backup.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter in overtime has Jacob Hollister, who was on the practice squad, who's now become your go-to tight end. Malik Turner has hardly played, and he comes up with a third and 18 scramble play, as extraordinary as anything, because Tyler Lockett has to spend the night in the hospital with a contusion in his leg. The cast of characters, whoever just get, Josh Gordon is failed more drug tests, is been cut by the Patriots, is there for 5 days, and is beating Richard Sherman in one-on-one. Like it, you just the script. Is yes. phenomenal.
Well, and a play you just briefly referenced was in overtime that set up the game winner. The Seahawks are facing a third and long. Russell Wilson, ball in his hands.
Russ has to get the ball out of his hands. No, he's got running room. 45, midfield, first down, slides down, is run into from behind after he's on the ground, but he's across the 40-yard line. Huge opening on the right side for Russell Wilson, and he picks up 20 and a first down.
When I talked to Pete Carroll on Friday, I said, I'm kind of starting, two things. I'm starting to get the feeling, and I don't know if it's you, Pete, I don't know if it's Russell, but I'm starting to get the feeling that you guys can just will this team to win. You can will the coin toss to go your way. It's an amazing feeling when you're in the pocket like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also said, I feel with Russell that, yes, he's the MVP runner-up. I feel like we are watching one of the all-time NFL careers that he's in the midst of now.
Yeah, I would agree with both of those. I would say two things as well. You make 2 points. I think number one, this is the most resilient Seahawks team we've watched in a decade. And Pete's had a bunch of them. He has had a bunch of really tough-minded,
define
talented, resilient.
Well, I mean, I know what the word means, but what do you mean in this context?
The circumstances don't matter, no matter what the circumstance is. You call it just willing yourself. I call it getting back in there time and time again. Get punched right in the mouth. Doesn't matter. Miss a field goal. Doesn't matter. Got to go to overtime. Doesn't matter. Get miss blown calls. Doesn't matter. It's just that every single turn, you just get up off the mat. You get up off the mat. You get up off the mat. Let's go. You are just so resilient and tough and strong, and there's many adjectives. But I think that's number one. And I think number two, it's because this team reflects its quarterback more than it ever has. It's not Sherman. It's not the defense. We talked about this all offseason, Dory, how this team is going to be now in the image of its $35 million quarterback, that the personalities that he played with for so many of the years, the voices that were so domineering and so loud are out. And this is Russell's team. And at the very core and center of Russell's whole game is resiliency. It's been his whole life as an athlete.
Yeah,
too short. Got to go to different colleges. You're a third round pick. Like, you have players that, you know, don't think you're black enough, that don't think you lead well enough, that think you're phony. You, in your own locker room, no matter what you do, you are just constantly just this spine and this backbone, and this team reflects it as much as they ever have before.
Yeah, that's very well said. And then when you're talking about sheer human drama, the kicker who, again, couldn't make a kick last week.
Think he was going to make it?
Just getting sad.
If I sat there and you had a lie detector, you and Paul and Ray and the whole crew bump, and you and Babs, and you all had a little lie detector, and you're all wired up right there, and someone asks you right before that kick, do you believe he's going to make this kick?
I did, because he was swinging his leg really good. And again, they were willing their way to victory.
At the 45, waits for the snap. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away. And that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks.
Did you see that explosion of emotion in the replay when they ISO'd on Jason Myers?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was a guy who had the weight of the universe on his shoulders.
Correct. Yeah. That's being willing to get in that arena, Dory. And to your point earlier, just experience an emotion that you otherwise wouldn't. And you charge your audience all the time to get out there. Don't just stand on the sidelines. Don't just be idle. Don't watch life pass you by. Go get in the game. And that dude could have easily just tucked tail and quit. Three kicks missed the week before. And you know what? A bunch of just sourpuss, old, negative NFL coaches would have cut him. would have played the blame game, would have just said, I'm done with you. You've been a disaster this year, and you've missed more kicks, and we're going to just bring in the next guy because I'm done with you. That's not the way this crew operates, ever.
No.
And this head coach in particular, and they gave him the trust, and he delivered.
Okay, half game behind having the best record. Every time they've had the best record, they've gotten to the Super Bowl. How much do you believe now? Because they got a tough schedule ahead.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
I believe that all six of these games are going to test their will and test our will and test our resolve as fans as we sit there and watch them. They could win every one of them. They could lose every one of them. They're going to be in every one of them.
I don't think they could lose every one of them.
They won't be blown out. They're not going to lose every one of them. But the point being, when they line up, they don't line up and they're markedly better than their opponent.
Yeah.
Other than maybe Arizona talent-wise, the other five, let's go. You're on the playground, and there's 22 kids to pick, and you know what? You get about 11 of them, we get about 11 of them, and let's just go tee it up. But the important thing is your QB is one of them. And when that guy's playing at the level Russell is, you typically end up winning.
It's kind of fun.
Which is what they did Monday night.
All right, good stuff, Brock. How about the Sounders still?
How about those champs?
Two MLS
champions. Those champs in this city?
Seattle, the city of champions.
Love it.
Okay. All right, Brock Heward, you can hear him. By the way, make sure you listen to his Above and Beyond podcast, too. You still have the Tony Bennett one on?
Yes.
It's fantastic. It is fantastic. So you can find that through My Northwest, but go check out Brock's Above and Beyond podcast. Thank you for coming by.
And by the way, my first trip to Iowa City. I get the Gophers, the undefeated, just like the Seahawks, a ton of resolve, Minnesota Gophers at Iowa Saturday night. Nice. Better be watching.
Oh, I'll be there.
Love you.
I'll be Bye. There. Okay, lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on.
Rolls on.
Rolls on. Rolls on.
How about this? An instructor at Cal Berkeley. I mentioned earlier this week on Saturday, our Seahawks producer, Nass Chobe, and Wyman and Moyer and I, we went to Monroe High School to watch the Monroe Bearcats football game because their head coach, Michael Bumpus, has become just a real dear friend of all of ours and works on the Seahawk broadcast. And I said, man, the people of Monroe, those are my listeners. And they were so nice. I don't even know how people recognize me. But just really cool, because I think the further you get from the mess that is Seattle, the more down-to-earth people get. So get this. A Cal Berkeley instructor took to Twitter to vent about his repulsion for rural Americans and why they deserve to live uncomfortable lives. Jackson Kernian, who teaches philosophy at Cal Berkeley, he writes that he loves to bash rural America. They, as a group, are bad people who have made bad life decisions. Some, I assume, are good people. But this nostalgia for some imagined pastoral way of life is stupid. And we should shame people who aren't pro-city. Yeah, you look at San Francisco and Seattle, and you tell us that rural people have it all wrong. Rural people, you're my people. I love you. Despite what Cal Berkeley people say. All right, Big League 2 next.